This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Many people dream of wandering the world but feel it is an unreachable fantasy. However, today on Her Vantage, the show about women of influence and leadership, we're speaking to Mei Mei Chu, who is a full-time journalist and award-winning travel blogger, about how that dream isn't as unrealistic as one might think. Thank you so much, Mei Mei, for coming into the studio and speaking to me today.
No, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Right. So, as I kind of mentioned, you run a travel blog and you're also a full-time journalist, but we'll be focusing mainly on your kind of travel blog and your experiences traveling and stuff like that as well, because you have been traveling from a pretty young age by yourself as well. And from what I understand, the kind of love that you have for travel started when you were about 18. So tell us about that experience.
So when I was 18, my brother was working in the United States as a chef, and he decided it would be a terrific idea to kind of ship me there so I get a bit of international experience, because I was studying solely in Malaysia only. So initially, I was quite reluctant to go. You know, I was really scared of leaving home and going to this foreign place. But when I was there, I just fell in love with traveling so much, because, you know, it forced me to be independent. It forced me to wash my own clothes and cook my own food and go out and explore this town and the city, and even going skiing on my own, like being forced to be independent and rely on my own resources, and learning about the people in the US, it just made me fall in love with travel so much.
Right. I mean, you know, I think that's definitely something that I would say travel does wonders for. It really forces you to step out of your comfort zone and really kind of address that you have to support yourself sometimes as well, right? And so you've been traveling since you were 18, when you went to Colorado on this kind of working holiday sort of thing. And since then, you've traveled to many, many different places, and you've compiled them all into your blog. So could you share with us some of your kind of main highlights from your travels so far?
So I've been blogging on meimeichu.com for about 5 years. There's so many experiences that I've chronicled on it. I don't know which one to pick up. One of my most recent stories, there's also one that's very close to my heart. Last year, I brought my household to China, including my grandparents, my parents, my brother. We went to China to look for my great-grandfather's village. Mm. So it was this big adventure, because we didn't know if the village still exists, and we've lost contact with the people there, so we didn't really know who to call. So it was just literally us going there and going to the police station and finding where our relatives are, and then finding the village. In the end, we found them. The village doesn't exist anymore.
Wow.
It was razed down, and it's now just big apartment buildings. But what happened during the whole trip was that it was really difficult to travel with both my grandfather, who is really old and struggled walking and keeping up, and my grandmother, who had Alzheimer's.
Right.
And we made it through for 2 weeks. But at the end of the last day, my grandmother went missing.
Goodness. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So at about 3 a.m, my grandfather knocked on our doors and said, "Grandma is missing." So she had one of her spells where she would just roam out of the room and walked around.
Right.
So she just walked out of the hotel while my grandfather was sleeping. He didn't notice. He usually noticed, but I think he was so tired, he didn't notice. And she just walked out of the hotel and disappeared literally into the night. So that was really, really scary. And just we spent the whole night trying to look for her.
And how did that turn out in the end?
The police wasn't very helpful. That was really frustrating.
Oh, dear.
In the end, about an hour or two later, she just walked back into
The
hotel lobby.
Right.
A miracle.
Mm.
And I was just so grateful that she came back. Otherwise, how do you look for a person in China?
Absolutely, right? Oh, my goodness. That sounds like such a heart-stopping event to happen in your life as well. And especially when, you know, you are traveling with family, and it can be so difficult to kind of, especially when you're used to traveling solo, I think there's this kind of element of, oh my goodness, I now have to kind of look after everyone.
Exactly.
And that can be so stressful. And then for something like this to happen is like the culmination of all of your potential paranoia about traveling, you know, with other people as well that you care about.
Yeah. I've been traveling so long, and I've had a lot of unpleasant experience. I've been harassed.
Mm.
I've ended up at police stations, but losing my grandmother was by far the scariest thing to have happened.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I can totally identify with that and sympathize with that a lot. And, you know, I'm glad that the situation worked out in the end and you managed to kind of find her again. And, you know, a lot of the stuff on your blog does cover that. You know, you're not particularly shy about the kind of potential risks or dangers or the sort of... I mean, you do talk about some of the incredible things that you've experienced traveling, but you also do talk about some of the darker side of traveling as well, especially solo on your blog. For example, you cover, you've got articles about, for example, is Brunei safe for solo women travelers? You've got the biggest fears women travelers face, how to overcome them. You've even got like things about the kind of feeling of when you are by yourself, especially you know, in a foreign place, can feel a bit weird, right? You've got, is it weird to go to a music festival alone as well on your blog? So you're very, very honest about your experience of traveling and you don't sugarcoat it, basically, I think is a good way to put it.
I think it's really important to share both the good sides and bad sides of traveling because most of the narrative you see on social media is like, wow, traveling is so much fun. Look at this awesome photo. I'm in this amazing place. But the reality of traveling as a woman solo is it is dangerous.
Mm.
Like our parents are not lying when they say don't travel alone. It's dangerous. A single right. woman. It is risky. Mm. But there are ways to overcome it and to prepare yourself. And I don't want to sugarcoat it because women need to realize that they are putting themselves in a vulnerable position
right.
when they travel. But this position that they are putting themselves in also can be an empowering one if right. they know how to take care of themselves.
Okay. I mean, we'll kind of get a little bit more into those sort of experiences and how to kind of deal with them and some of the kind of tips and lessons you've learned from being a solo female traveler in a bit. But before we kind of get onto that, I wanted to ask you actually about what actually drove you to start your blog and what actually drove you to start curating all of these experiences into the written form 5 years ago?
It started as a hobby, like any travel blogger. It started as a hobby because I just love traveling so much. I just wanted to write about it. But then I realized 10 years ago when I first started traveling was that the stories and the narrative and the resources were all from the perspective of men, specifically white men. There wasn't much resources from women and not from Asian women. So I struggled finding relevant content or content that was relevant to me and my experiences.
Right.
So I thought that there was a gap and I wanted to fill that gap. So I started writing more in-depth stories about the experiences specific to me being Asian and being female and being Malaysian.
Mm. I tend to agree with that. You know, I think that there isn't a lot of content, especially kind of media-related content or kind of personal content about people who are kind of like us, you know, Asian and female, specifically even Malaysian, right? You know, that's why when Crazy Rich Asian came out, everyone freaked out because it was like the first time we'd ever seen something close to our own experience, you know, reflected on a mainstream level, I suppose. And clearly, you know, your travel blog has resonated with a lot of people because you have won a couple of awards for your blog. You've won a Site of the Year, Malaysia Website Awards 2017, Site of the Month as well from the same place. You've also got, you're one of the top 30 Malaysian travel bloggers and also Malaysia top 2 travel blogger as well. So, you know, talk to me about that. What did it feel to actually win awards for your experiences, you know, being written down? And like, what do you think it is about your blog that has resonated enough to kind of earn these accolades?
Winning the award was amazing because it was obviously a recognition of my work. I think a lot of people underestimate how much work goes into writing these stories and maintaining a blog and the amount of money that goes into it as well. They just see the beautiful side of it. But it is a lot of hard work. Weekends, the midnight oil. So that was a really, really special recognition, I felt. And I think people really appreciated reading honest stories that gets into the nitty-gritty, dirty details of travel and not just beautiful photos of, you know, people on the mountain. So I think there was a lack of honest stories, a lack of quality stories, long-form reads. So people really appreciated that. And I was surprised because I thought in this age, people wanted quick, snappy information.
Mm.
So that was a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, you know, I think that that's a really fantastic point to make. A lot of the travel writers out there really put forward a very idealistic idea of what traveling is, and they tend to kind of not ignore exactly, but to downplay a lot of the hardships that can come with traveling, because it's not necessarily easy, and I think it is played up as a very Yeah, as a kind of fantasy in a way for
it's
a lot of people.
Very romanticized.
Yes, perfect word actually. Romanticized is a very good word for that. So, you know, it's really great to see a more holistic view and a more kind of realistic approach to writing about traveling as well. And you've also, this is not even your first time on BFM as well. You've actually been on BFM before. You actually were on an episode called Ticket to Ride, and you talked about the Polynesian Kingdom of Tonga. Can you talk to us a little bit about that in case people haven't listened to the podcast?
Tonga was amazing. So I booked a flight. I was in New Zealand and I booked a flight to Tonga at the spur of the moment decision because I heard you could swim with humpback whales in Tonga.
Oh, wow.
Yes. I thought this was something only people in Discovery Channel or National Geographic could do. So I thought there was an opportunity for me to be one of those people. So I just went and I just tried my luck. I went into the water with a whale swim tour. And I met them. I met the whales.
Wow.
And it's so amazing being face to face with this. Yeah, fish, but they're the size of a bus.
Yeah.
And I'm like 5 meters away from them.
Wow.
Just looking at the details on their body, the scars, the little colors and the sunlight from the waves playing on their body and watching them swim. It's amazing. It just made me realize how small I am in this scheme of things and how amazing and how big the world and the significance of being alive is.
Wow, yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean, obviously people can listen to the podcast for more on that experience that you had in Tonga as well, which I'll mention later. But for now, we have to take a short break. So stay tuned to Her Vantage on Enterprise on BFM 89.9 for more on this discussion.
Be free, Malaysians. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
You're listening to Her Vantage on Enterprise. I'm Christine Wong, and today I'm speaking to Mei Mei Chu, who is a full-time journalist and also a award-winning travel blogger. And before the break, we were discussing kind of her initial love of solo traveling and some of the awesome stories that she has from traveling. And I say awesome not in the kind of positive sense. I mean awesome in the actual definition of the word, which is awe-inspiring or kind of awe-related, as it were, and kind of why she's decided to write about travel in a more holistic way to remove the romanticism of travel, in a sense. But what I wanted to actually ask you about now is the fact that you are holding up a full-time job in addition to travel blogging. You currently work for The Star as a journalist, as well as do the travel blog.
That is correct.
How?
A lot of people have this perception that to have a life of travel, you need to quit your job or you need to live a life of a nomad before you can live a life of travel. That is not true. And how I do it is just the way every other people do. I work really, really hard and I save all my money and then I use my annual leave to go on holiday.
Wow. I mean, yeah, but, you know, I think the perception as well, as you've kind of mentioned, is that you have to kind of sacrifice one for the other, and you've managed to somehow balance out your schedule to be able to do both, essentially.
I must say that one of the reasons why I picked journalism, because it is a job that allows me a bit more flexibility when it comes to arranging my annual leaves. And also journalism is a job that combines my love of being able to meet people and being exposed to new experiences. Journalism offers that. So even when I go to work every day, I feel like I am traveling in a sense.
Oh, that's so nice. I think that it's interesting to draw that parallel as well between journalism and kind of traveling. And it's a good point to mention that this is a more flexible job than, let's say, like a typical kind of corporate 9-to-5 where you can kind of move things around slightly. But still, the fact of the matter is it is very impressive that you've managed to balance both as well as you have. We've talked earlier before the break as well about the fact that you have mainly kind of traveled solo, and a lot of your blog posts are about that specific experience about being a solo traveler, but also someone who is female and Asian. And there's a lot of paranoia, I guess, and a lot of fear, especially for female travelers, especially for Asian travelers, to go solo traveling. So can you talk to us about that? What are some of the kind of lessons or kind of tips that you've learned from your experiences?
The first advice I could give any women who want to travel solo is to research about the country first and to really understand the cultural sensitivities and customs and what is expected as a woman in their country. Because unfortunately, a lot of the world is still very patriarchal and they have a lot of limitations and regulations for women. They expect differently from women than men. So is it okay for you to sunbathe in a bikini on a public beach? Or should you be more covered up? Is it okay for you to wear shorts? This seems really basic, but a lot of people don't understand how important it is to respect the local cultural sensitivities. Because it's not just respecting them, but it's also making sure that people don't take advantage of you and you are putting yourself in a safer position. We've all seen the stories where, you know, people stripped on sacred mountains
or,
you know, take lewd photos in front of mosques and they end up on the news and they end up being attacked, maybe.
Yeah.
So you don't want to put yourself in that position. So yeah, always research about the countries that you are going to.
Absolutely. I mean, it is, as you mentioned, I think it's more an issue of respect than kind of anything else. And, you know, I think also when we think about those kinds of situations where people find themselves in a bad place or in a bad situation when they travel, a lot of it is because they are kind of singled out, right, as a kind of tourists or not following the cultural flow, I guess, of the country that they're in. So if you do your research, hopefully you'll be able to kind of avoid a lot of those things. You know, but have you ever been in a situation where you felt, you know, scared or worried about the place that you were in?
Plenty of times. I hope my mom is not listening to this. But yeah, but even if I always dress according to what the local people are wearing. So even if I dress modestly, I still find myself in precarious situations sometimes. Sometimes it's just being in the wrong place at the wrong time. One of the stories that I'll be sharing at Zafigo X in November is my experience in Sri Lanka, where I was essentially molested by a young boy.
Oh, goodness.
He was about 19 and I was just cycling and he just ended up putting his hands on me. So in that experience, I took all the precautions I could to not put myself in that dangerous position, but it still happened.
Right. I think it really, you know, and you're right, you know, sometimes it is just kind of case of extenuating circumstances that has led you to be, as you said, in the wrong place in the wrong time. But that also doesn't mean that you should totally write off traveling as something that is worthwhile doing just because you've had some kind of bad experiences or just because there is that risk. Perhaps, would you say that the benefits of travel kind of outweigh a lot of that?
Even those experiences, I don't regret it because, well, firstly, I was fortunate that I escaped unharmed.
Right.
Otherwise, this would be a different conversation.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. Right.
But I don't regret those experiences because I didn't just overcome it. I used that experience to learn how to take better care of myself.
Right.
So as corny as what doesn't kill you make you stronger sound, it is very true. I learned how to stand up for myself and how to overcome these experiences.
Absolutely.
So, and I bring these experiences back and these lessons back to Malaysia with me, and I use it to take care of myself in my daily life.
Right. You know, and one of the points that you make as well is that, you know, regardless, traveling is empowering, you know. So can you talk a little bit about that and how it's been empowering for you?
So I grew up in a very sheltered community. My family didn't travel, so I was never exposed to the idea of traveling and all that. But when I started traveling, you know, getting out of the comfort zone and getting out of the routines and complacency of life and being forced to take care of myself, I learned so much. Like, I discovered these abilities I didn't know I had because I've been so dependent on the people around me. So, like, even something as simple as, I can read a map.
Oh, wow. Yeah, to be fair.
And especially when we all use Waze every day.
Yeah.
Like, how many of us open up a map? So, small things from learning how to read a map to bigger things like learning how to stand up for myself when some creep comes and try to approach me and learning how to say no.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. And these are really important lessons in life that sometimes you don't get the chance to experience when you are stuck at home.
Right. I also think that travel is kind of the antidote to ignorance, right? Like, you know, when you travel, you're forced to learn so much in such a short period of time as well. Not only about yourself, but about the country that you're in or about the kind of situations you find yourself in, the kind of values that you have, you know. I think that it does reveal a lot. So, you know, thank you very much for sharing a lot of those experiences, positive and negative, with me today because I think it is definitely worth understanding the benefits and the kind of effects that travel can have on a person, you know?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I always say that travel is my postgraduate education.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, so you are learning so much about the world. You know, before I started traveling, before I went to New Zealand, I didn't even know French Polynesia existed.
Oh, wow, yeah.
I didn't know there was something called Tonga. I didn't know what they ate and I didn't know what a fjord was. So, you know, learning about geography and learning about fruits that doesn't
exist. You didn't know existed. Yeah.
It's amazing. And to go back to the point of how it was empowering.
Right.
Travel kind of opened up my mind. So it allowed me to dream bigger and dream further than I thought I was allowed to dream. After traveling, you know, I feel like I can dream my wildest imaginations and I can actually make those imaginations come true as well as it is. So it's not just about traveling being an amazing experience because you are having an amazing holiday, but taking these experiences and these lessons and this empowerment home to your work and to your daily life and using that to, you know, make you a better career woman, for instance.
All right. That's fantastic. So kind of before we wrap up the interview, I mean, first of all, I guess the biggest question to ask is, where are you planning on traveling to next?
A lot of people ask me that, and I never know how to answer because I don't plan my trips in advance.
Okay.
It just sort of happened.
What's like the dream place, the dream destination right now?
I am very curious about the African continent.
Fair enough.
And I am very curious about Kazakhstan, Tajikistan, the Stan countries in the region. I think it's so foreign to what we know as Malaysians in our daily education. So I hope to go there soon.
Yeah, interesting. And also, I understand, you know, in your kind of near future, as you mentioned briefly earlier as well, you'll be actually speaking at an upcoming event. So talk to me a little bit about Zafigo as well.
Zafigo X is happening 9th to 11th of November. This is their second installment, and I've been involved with Zafigo for a very long time. I've been contributing articles to them, and they do a very good job in educating women how to travel independently and travel safely and sort of use travel as an empowering tool. The Zafigo X in November is going to be really exciting because they have some amazing inspirational female travelers speaking. They have women who have conquered the highest mountains in the world. Mm-hmm. They have women who are in their 70s but are still traveling. So a whole spectrum of women sharing their experiences. And hopefully, you know, those who come can sort of take bits and pieces home away with them and use it to enrich their lives.
Yeah, excellent. Well, thank you so much for speaking to me today, Maymay, about your travel experiences. We're also going to be talking to another person who's going to be involved in Zafigo next week. So that will be Kyronisa. So do tune into that next week. But for now, that's actually all the time that we have. This has been Her Vantage. If you've missed any of this interview, you can go ahead and download the podcast from our app available on the App Store or Google Play, or you can go to our website, bfm.my. You can also find the previous podcast that Maymay was involved in. That's called Ticket to Ride, Episode 102, The Polynesian Kingdom of Tonga. For now, stay tuned to Enterprise on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.